Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated May 31, 2019. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sestile Tekel and is a podcast project created by Lord Baldrith and run by Asclepius and Style Tekel. The background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, exciting stuff. We have another release. This is release 66. Awesome. Now, at one a month, that indicates that the game's been going for quite a long time. Mind you, a lot of progress has been made since good old release one that I sort of still remember. If you were around then, and if you can recall, I think there was a room, there was an avatar, which you could sort of move around, and I think you might have been able to sit down, but that was about it. So that was a humble beginning, and look at where the game has gone from then until now. It's absolutely amazing, and the things that you can do in the game now are sort of unreal. So by any measure, we've come a long way, and we have a pretty awesome game. That also has to be said that there is still a way to go. There is still improvements that can be made. It's still incomplete. There are things that are under construction, but that's okay. Looking at the progress that we've made, I have faith that this is going to be even more awesome than it is. Okay, but as we say, we have an update. It is release 66. It's update number 334. Pretty impressive. There's a rewards program update, a new houses live stream, and a lot more. Okay, first item on the agenda is, of course, playing release 66. It launched, yes, with the usual fanfare, with the usual launch, and then a patch to follow, and then a patch to follow that. But that's normal. It's all good. They've got most things sorted. So that's great. And there's lots of new content to explore, including 9 new warding skills. Had a look at those, and yes, there are warding skills. And if you look in your magic trees, you'll find there's an extra glyph there. And you can, if you wish, if you want to, you can start developing one or more of those, and you can develop resistances against particular varieties of magic. For instance, if you have a proclivity to hunt dragons and you're continually getting eaten by them, by their fiery breath, then you might like to go into the water tree. There is a skill there that will boost your resistance to fire. It also reduces your attunement to water. That's what these things do. They give you strength on one side and take it away on the other side. So whatever school this is, you're going to benefit with a resistance to the opposite school, and it'll hurt you if you happen to be practicing in that school as well. If you are being eaten by ghosts, then yeah, sure, that's fine. Go into the life tree. There is a glyph there that will give you death resistance. Mind you, if you're relying on life skills and life attunement to get around, then it's going to hurt you a little bit because, as I say, it gives with one hand and takes with the other. As is fairly normal in this game, you find an artifact or you get some piece of armor or whatever, and you think, yes, it has attributes, it has bonuses, this is wonderful. Yeah, but it also has negatives. It's, yeah, great. Like the Ring of Brittle Brawn. Fantastic. Gives you an extra 40 strength. That is absolutely beautiful. And then it takes off 200-300 health. Yeah, okay, fine. Do I really want to wear this? They're all like it. So, again, typical. This is the way the game works. You get given things with one hand and take away from with the other. There is also a warding skill in the tactics tree. If you're somebody who just doesn't believe in magic, if you're a melee person or an archery person or a polearm person or whatever, and you say, I don't want to practice magic, and I'm sick of getting eaten by all the mages around the place, okay, go into the tactics tree, and there is a glyph there that will give you a modest bonus to the resistance of and a penalty to all of the magic schools except chaos. So if you pump that up as high as you can, you'll be moderately immune to fire and death and earth magic and moon magic and everything else except chaos magic, because hey, nobody knows how to defend against that. So there you go. They are all there, and that's something that's quite new. It'll be interesting to see how people experience that and develop it. And while we're talking about warding, I can relate an interesting experience I had this week. This is one of those memorable moments that I would love people to write in with. I did ask a couple of weeks ago, did anybody have any fantastic experiences or anything that they'd like to share with the community? Just write in, let us know. I'd love to share, because you know it's real boring having me talk all the time about my experiences. But hey, nobody did. So here we go. You have to listen to mine, I'm sorry. There I was, exploring various areas, trying to push the envelope, trying to go a little bit further, and you end up going a little bit too far, of course. Going down to the ruins of Ravensmoor. I went down there a while ago. Now, there is a ghost down there. He's an abandoned ghost. And he has 35,000 hit points, which seems a bit excessive on any level. I mean, you know, how could possibly any ghost, any creature have 35,000 hit points? It's just obscene. So I initially thought, okay, well, I'll have a go at him, whatever. You sort of know it's going to end badly, but you can't help trying. Well, it ended badly, that's the short story. He obviously has Death Ray, because you can see the little visual effect. It's quite a nice little visual effect, the little black lines that are running from your character to his. Oh, this is lovely, he's sucking the life out of me, that's terrific. Before I knew it, my shield of air had gone. And, well, then I was vulnerable, and then I was gone, so, okay, yeah, good, time for plan B, which is running away. Well, I thought about that, and I thought, okay, resistances. And, this guy is a ghost, necromancy, he's throwing death magic at me, why don't I give this a try? So I had some armor at home, and I created a new set, a gem of necromancy warding on the chest, two gems on the bow, an appropriate jewel on the ring and necklace, ended up to be 95% death resistance. I thought, well, that'll be fun, I'll see what happens. So I went down there again. Now, I did notice this week in the forum, there's a bit of a debate and a bit of arguing and back and forth about whether resistances work in PvE, or is it just in PvP? Well, the answer is obviously partly both, and the answer Chris gave was that they should work in PvE. There are some assets that they have that are old, and they mightn't have the rules explained to them properly. This is my excuse. So, yes, they should work, and they're getting onto it to make sure they do work. Anyway, long story short, I had this kit on me. I made another deck so that I could switch between them at a moment's notice. Fantastic. Went down to the ruins of Ravensmoor again. Knocked over the elite skeletons on the way, and there was this abandoned ghost. So, we set to. And honestly, it was absolutely funny. it developed into a Mexican standoff. He was throwing death ray at me, which looked as if it's the only weapon he's got, and little VFX going along, fantastic. Great, didn't do a thing. He could not touch me. He was, you know, he was sitting there and throwing this weapon at me. I thought, yeah, okay. Are you enjoying yourself? Because I'm not hurting. This was wonderful. I was totally immune. The other side of the equation was I was shooting arrows at him and connecting and getting 100, 150, 200 points off. But you start with 35,000 and he was regenerating. And I could not get him down below about 34,000. It just wasn't possible. And I thought, yeah, this is something wrong. I mean, one, ghosts shouldn't regenerate. I mean, you're dead once. How can you possibly regenerate? And it was just happening so fast. There was nothing I could do about it. This guy has obviously watched Game of Thrones, and he's adopted the Ironborn philosophy. You know, what is dead may never die. Well, he wasn't going to die anytime soon. So we did that for a while, until I got bored with it and decided, okay, the only way to deal with him is not deal with him. I moved on and ignored him. Fortunately, he didn't follow, so it was just sort of a tip of the hat, and yeah, nice to meet you, mate. I hope you catch the next fella. And I went on my way. Got all the way down to the bottom. The news wasn't quite so good at the bottom. The lich there, Rassel Horag, whatever his name is, the undead lord, he's still bad. And I don't know whether he's one of the older ones who hasn't had the rules of resistance explained to him. He does still have a red nameplate. Now, for the newer players, if there are any newish players to the game who happen to be listening to this stellar broadcast, let me explain that as you're adventuring around the world of Novia, you'll come up against mobs, and these mobs will have a nameplate, and they are colour-coded, which is a really great idea because it gives you an idea what to do with them. And it's very much like traffic lights, actually. If they're green, then this mob is either probably at your level or a bit lower. So, yeah, it should be pretty safe. You should be able to do this. So have at him, enjoy, and have a wonderful time. Just, you know, take normal care, and you should be fine. Yellow, yeah, a little bit above your level, but with a bit of cunning and skill and tactics, you should be fine. You might have to work a little bit harder. Orange is getting a bit more difficult, and oh dear, this could be a real challenge. If the nameplate is red, then this mob is at a really high level compared to you. If you have any brains whatever, you'll turn around quickly and run the other way. Well, most people do have really good brains and they turn around and run the other way. There are other people like me who can't resist trying it out. So I thought, okay, I'll try it out. And armed with my full necromancy warding kit, I went and had a talk to this guy and died very quickly. So it didn't make a scrap of difference. I don't know what he was throwing at me. I looked in the chat log even later. I did a forensic analysis. I did a post-mortem. And all it said was that he attacked me and hit and did about 600 critical damage. But it didn't say with what. I didn't see any great visual effect. I didn't see the evidence of a death ray or a fireball or whatever. I didn't know what he was throwing at me. He was on the other side of the room, I think. So whatever it was fairly vicious, and I died pretty quick. Oh, great. So I thought, okay, well, I can't resist being stupid. I'll try it again with my other set of armor. So I went down there, killed off all his subordinates, ran into the room. Now, for some reason, I don't know where he was. I could see his nameplate, but he must have been around the other side, so he hadn't actually noticed me. So I thought, well, okay, I know where the entrance to the secret passage is because I've been here before. I've done this before the game got real impossible. I'll go down the passage and have a talk to the guy that you have to resurrect, because that's one of the quests that the caretaker gives you when you enter this place. Fine. You find four jars with his innards in them on your way through, put them in appropriate places, the lich comes up, you kill the lich, it's all good. Right, okay, fantastic. So I found all those and snuck into the passage, got down there, put the jars on the top, and the guy comes back. Yes, he's got a red nameplate too. I think, okay, I thought, this is not good. It's one of those feelings that you know whatever you do, it's going to end badly. So I gave it the Red Hot College try and died bravely. Well, whether or not I was brave, I don't know, but I died. So, yeah, whether you just need to be a much higher level or have six or eight people with you, or it's a different kind of magic, or whether the resistances haven't quite been worked out for these guys, I don't know. But he's not somewhere I can go yet. So that's a long story about resistances, but they are being developed. They are coming, as well as the resistances that are already known, like I've just talked about. You can put warding gems on your armour and all that sort of stuff, but you can only effectively do it one at a time. I mean, I've got a complete necromancy warding set, as I said, and I'm thinking of doing a fire one if I ever go out to battle dragons, because that's probably the only way I'll survive. But you can do it as well this way, if you have the time and energy to put millions of points into this particular skill. And I'm told it's a very, very thirsty skill. It takes a lot of points. So there we are. It's there. If you want it, have at it. All right. There are five new taming skills. So everybody who's got a pet, there's so much more you can do with it now. You can make it more aggressive. You can make it tougher. You can make it attack more. And, they'll be much more effective. So that's great. There are new top-tier tameable creatures. Wow, alrighty. So, yeah, we've added top-tier tameable creatures similar to the Obsidian Destroyer. Yep. And, there's one example of each of these in one scene. You will find a Polar Destroyer, a Ferocious Obsidian Boar, a Razorback Destroyer, a Large Dark Star Corpion, a Dark Star Destroyer, which is a Corpion, a Brown Arachnid, a Ferocious Brown Arachnid, a Red Arachnid, a Ferocious Red Arachnid, a Black Arachnid, a Ferocious Black One, and Arctic Wolves, Ferocious Variety, Desert Timber and Obsidian Wolves, nice, and a Lupine Destroyer. Wow, okay. If that doesn't satisfy your idea for a ferocious pet, I don't know what does. That's going to be great. And it'll be scary, actually, because if you're walking around with one of these, it makes you much tougher than walking around by yourself. I tried having a pet ages ago, and I found they were sucking up so much of my focus that it wasn't worth the trouble. But I might have to rethink that. I'm finding I have to rethink a lot of my previous suppositions and conclusions. So, yeah, I might be walking around with a pet one day. Mind you, it's another whole tree that you have to put millions of points into. There's always something that you think, yeah, I'd love to do that. That'd be great. It's only going to take 50 or 100 million points. Awesome. No trouble at all. So, yeah. There's always something to do, and it's a matter of deciding, well, which is more important. Okay, there are tameable baby dragons. If you ever wanted a baby dragon as a pet, you can now do it. Artifact combining. Now, I'm told that they're not in the game as of this second, but the next patch, they will be in the game. and you'll find them in supply bundles. And I think you might find common ones in a grey bundle, uncommon ones in a yellow bundle, and rare ones in a blue bundle or something like that. And if you can find four common ones, you can combine them together to make an uncommon one. It'll be interesting to see what they're like. Okay, the Luminous Atavist returns. Yeah, he's a rather unfriendly sort of guy who thinks that Outlander shouldn't be here, so he and his gang are dedicated to get rid of us all. There's a Clockwork Dragon trophy recipe, a heraldry polearm. There's a picture of it, which looks rather nice. Great big polearm. And there's a space on the end of it that you can put your heraldry on. So it's almost like you have a weapon, which is great, but you're also carrying your sigil into battle, like in medieval times. There are leaderboards, and this is a listing of all the kills that have been carried out in the past day, week, or longer, both PvE and PvP. Had a very quick look at it just then. Yeah, a lot of people have been causing a lot of death and mayhem around the land. Much, much more in PvE than PvP. And I don't know how often it's refreshed, but I was on last night. That's my time. And as of today, I haven't made it onto the leaderboard. I know I probably should have because I did a few kills. I'm an awful long way from the top, which is not unexpected. But maybe it refreshes every day at some particular time of the day. I might be on there tomorrow. But hey, it's fun. So check it out. It's the little window icon that's up the top right hand of your screen. You click that and there's a whole lot of things you can choose from. One of them is leaderboards. So if you want to know how much mayhem that people have been causing, there you go. You can go and have a look at it. Okay, there's a polish of the new user experience. They've been working hard on that. And actually, I do admire their courage and their honesty. They've been monitoring what's been going on. They've been getting feedback. They've been doing surveys, whatever. And apparently the traditional approach where you landed on the Isle of Storms and you talked to Arabella and you went to the mirror and all that sort of stuff, that was turning people off. And a number of people quit at that point. Well, yeah, that's a bit annoying. So if you're a game developer and you want people to love your game, you'd like them to get past the front door. So the obvious answer is redesign the front door. And that's what they've done. They appear to have done away with the Isle of Storms. I don't know what the introduction is now, but it's different. They're totally redesigning it, making it more user-friendly. And while they're reworking everything, they are still guiding people down the path of love as the first option. That's where people should go because that's what they're working hard on, trying to make it better, more friendly, more usable, and create more retention. Once they get done with that, then the path of courage and truth will get the same treatment. So, still being worked on. But I do admire them for that. You start out with a plan, and if it looks as if it's going pear-shaped, and if it looks as if it's not working, then you can either be pig-headed and say, this is my plan, this is what I believe in, this is what's going to work. Like a certain political party did in this country a couple of weeks ago, and they came badly unstuck. And a lot of people were surprised because it looked as if they were cruising to victory. All the opinion polls said, yeah, fantastic, they're going to walk in. And the silent majority who sit out in the suburbs says, nah, don't like that. So, you never know. If your plan isn't working, if it's not appealing to people, the only way you're going to succeed is to say, right, it's not working, let's do something different. And that really is the best, the most honest, and the only thing you can do. Alrighty, so that's being polished. There are new emotes. There is a Lord British recurring item or two. There are items from the R60, R62 and R63 live streams coming on board. And the R66 reward items, which we'll talk about in a little while. There are performance improvements and there are bug fixes. And there's a lot more. So, don't forget to check out the instructions. They'll be different. Things change. And the only way you find out stuff is to read the instructions. Otherwise, you end up asking dumb questions. So there we are. Okay, now, this is the next item. There's an update of the rewards program. There is a subtle change. Actually, not so subtle. Remember, each week we have been reminding you of the stretch goals, of the money they've been raising out of the cash shop and out of the crown shop to go towards supporting the game. Everybody's buying stuff out of the crown shop, out of the cash shop, da-da-da-da. And, okay, this is the running total, and I'm sure they'd like you to keep doing that. But what they've been doing is offering stretch goal rewards. So for a particular level, okay, this is what you get. And you don't get them for a while, obviously, because they don't know what amount they'll receive. So they don't know how many they have to go away and make. And they start trickling in a few episodes or a few releases later. Okay. For some reason, now I haven't had a chance to look at the live stream. Chris has gone into this, but they have decided to change it. And it's a fairly radical change. Evidently, a lot of people have been taking up the rewards program offer, which is a good thing. For $9 a month, it's not a huge amount, and you're supporting the game. That gives the game a little bit of an assured income. Just quietly, it might be moving towards a subscription model, plus a cash shop, which is fine, okay. And they've obviously thought, well, okay, let's move to that direction. So, the items previously known as stretch goals are now exclusive only to the rewards program. The only way that you're going to get stretch goal rewards is by being a member of the rewards program, the $9 a month program. There will be no weekly tally of stretch goals, whatever we've raised this much this week. No, that's gone. If you want rewards, then join up with the program. It's $9 a month. It's not much. And apart from all the regular rewards, which we can remind you about later, you will get the stretch goal rewards, which, yeah, they're worth happening. And that makes it easy for them because they decide in advance, okay, how many they're going to give out. And it will only be about 3 per month rather than a potential 6 or 8 or 10, whatever. Okay, there'll be 3. And they decide in advance how many there are. They decide in advance what they are. And so they have them made beforehand. And I actually tried this out. And I gave in eventually, after a long time, and joined up with the rewards program. I will hesitate to say I haven't been stingy all this time. I've been supporting the game. It has been my habit to hit the web store every month and buy a fair number of crowns. And that's my way of supporting the game. And of course then I turn around and sell the crowns in-game for in-game gold. So basically I am cashed up like you wouldn't believe. And I have the money to go out and buy gold or silver or whatever I want, which is fine. It's good for me, good for the game. But I thought, okay, I'll, all right, an extra $9. That's fine, I can do that. And so I logged in last night. Little message, congratulations, you've got these rewards. Okay, so it happens straight away. So you get three rewards, or maybe four, but, you know, about three. And you get them straight away. You don't have to wait for them. You also have to log in during the month. That is another condition. So two conditions to get rewards. One is that you are a member of the rewards program. The other is that you actually log into the game. I imagine if you don't log into the game, then that month's rewards will actually lapse. So there you are. And it's just to remind you, for this $9 a month, you get 900 gold crowns every month. You get the exclusive reward items, which we've just been blathering on about three a month. You get an exclusive title that you can use. Every 3 months it changes. You can pick any dye pack every 6 months. And you can pick three obsidian potions every month. So it's worth doing. So I thought, yes, okay, I'll give that a shot as well as the usual support that I've been giving them. So why not? And it works. I can tell you that it honestly works. You will get the rewards straight away. So, worthwhile. Okay, I recommend it. All right, next item. There was a New Houses live stream today. As always, they do it in the wee small hours for this part of the world, but I can catch up with it later. It was on Friday, May the 31st at 4 p.m. Central. This week, they're showing off some new houses going live soon, including the massive pirate frigate castle home and the Lord of the Isles castle home. Well, there's a picture of that Lord of the Isles castle home. It does look absolutely like a castle. You would need a huge lot to put it on. You'd need a fleet of servants to look after it, a housekeeper, a butler, a maid, and all of that sort of stuff, and some serious decorating advice, because boy, you'll be decorating that until the cows come home, really. So but it's an awesome looking house, and I think there will be a few Lord of the Isles who are really enjoying that. That is an awesome place. They talked about that during the live stream. If you didn't catch it, it will be on YouTube and you'll be able to catch up with it. And they offer rewards, as usually do, and the rewards for Release 66 are dance-themed. And these rewards that I just talked about, there are three of them. You get a hustler hat, a hustler dance emote, and a colourful mallard duck pet. So, all very nice. Okay, and of course, if you're a live streamer of the game, there are quite a number of people live streaming the game, which is a great idea. It gives people the opportunity to watch us play it, and they might catch the spirit of it and think, hey, that looks like real fun. I think I'd like to do that. So you can get an exclusive streamer camera for being a veteran of the live streamer program. So don't forget, you will be in line for that. Right, next item. There are updates to the Crown Shop. And it says here, greetings avatars, the Crown Shop has some great updates this week, including the following. There is a disco ball decoration. If you're having a dance party, if you're having any kind of party, the disco ball decoration is there. You can get it. And the vault. Well, there's a new set of items now available until Thursday, the June the 6th at 10:30 Central. At that time, the next round of 9 items will be available for 2 weeks, and then the next, and so on, and so on. So every fortnight, they wheel out some items that have been available in the past that were valuable, that were rewards, that were founders rewards, whatever. They sell them in the vault. Yes, they are a premium price because, you know, they're pretty exclusive stuff. But if you want to, if you're prepared to pay the price, if you really feel like it, grab it. They are labelled Vault Edition, so not 110% the same as the original, but they look pretty good. They look the same. And this time round, they have a Virtue Dirndl outfit, an Aeronaut wearable pack. They have Pallas's Cat. I don't know what Pallas's Cat looks like. Good heavens. Okay. All right. I'll have to check that one out. There is a flame-stained glass table lamp, 3-pack. Now, they are nice. I've got a few of those. They're lovely. There's a hot air balloon, a wooden plaster 2-story with balcony village home. There's a Druid townhome, a wooden plaster 2-story with front porch townhome, and a Shogun 5-story city home. Some nice homes for sale. If you're in the market for a good home, there they are. They're there in the vault. Okay, and a picture of the hot air balloon. That looks pretty impressive. And a nice little home there. That looks lovely as well. Okay, next item. The official release 66 live stream on June the 7th, like next weekend. This is going to be a dance party, and everybody's invited, obviously. All avatars from around the world are welcome to join us in the live stream. We're doing deep dives, answering questions, and handing out prizes. For Release 66, the exclusive monthly rewards are dance-themed, as we did mention. The schedule is, well, 3 o'clock introductions, 3:30 they're talking about taming updates, all about the new skills and the top tier tameables. If you want to know how to tame your dragon, that's where you go, and I'm sure they'll be talking about it. At 4:15 there's a housing tour with new houses with vault additions, and 5 o'clock it winds up. Great. And now there will be prizes given away, so all you have to do to win a prize is either log in to the game and type into the chat box, dance till you're dead. Remember, dance till you're dead. You just have to type that in. And the clever people will notice that. They keep an eye on everything that we do. This is not the CIA or a secret society or anything like that. They just know everything that we do. So type it into the chat. They'll notice it. Great, you're entered. Or during the live stream, just purchase anything from the web store, and that also gets you eligible for a prize. Okay, so there's a good selection of prizes, including a fire dance wheel emote. You can unlock pet dancers. There's a ballet outfit with ballet emotes, an ornate dual wax cylinder phonograph with emotes, the Countach package for breast cancer charity, and an Ether Vibration Amplifier console. And they are very nice. They also work very well. So get into that. Be there. Either type that into the chat in the game if you're logged in at the time, or buy something from the web store while the live stream is on. Okay, next item, the Lord of the Isle Episode 2 bundles, which we've been talking about almost forever, but not quite. Just to refresh your memory, Episode 2 is coming up, and alright, they couldn't push out any Episode 2 lands this release because pressure of work and pressure of other things, but I hope and believe they should be coming out next release. It's coming. It is coming. That much we can guarantee. And they are selling bundles which signify a huge amount of support. There are only 24 of these bundles that will ever be created. And yes, they come at a premium price. If you've recently got an inheritance or won the lottery, it might be just the thing. But what you get for this is you get a Place Anywhere Castle lot deed. That's humongous. which will take that castle house that we were talking about a while ago. In a player-owned town, it's tax-free forever, or anywhere else it's tax-free for a year. So that's pretty awesome. You get a title, Lord or Lady of the Isle. You get the home. Well, they've just revealed what that is. That's pretty awesome. Another house that you can choose from. A basement, a wall set, a dungeon room, a whole bunch of crowns, 999 bank slots, 12 prosperity tools, 2 unique in-game items that they'll tell us about later, early access to episode 2, an episode 1 box and map signed by the team, a 1-hour one-on-one video conference with Chris for design discussion, a real silver ring, this is not a hoax, this is a real silver ring, crafted by Lord British, numbered 1 to 8, very nice, and an in-game version of said ring, a tour of Lord British's place, and fine dinner and drinks with the team. You do have to get yourself there. But that's an awesome bundle, and it's only about $6,900. So it's great if you say it quickly, or it's great if you can just put it on the credit card and forget about it. Okay, next item. We have various other live streams. As always, they do the community live stream on a Friday and mention it the following week in the newsletter with a link to it. If you didn't catch it then, or if you haven't seen it on YouTube, here's the link. And it's all about the new top-tier tameable creatures, and as well as taming and warding skills. And here's the link from the YouTube channel, in case you missed it. So there you go. There is the opportunity to review it. Also, Atos and others have been live streaming most days, and you can check those out on the YouTube channel. Of course, if you subscribe to the channel, you get an email notification whenever a new video goes up. So no excuse for missing things, and all you need is the time to actually sit down and watch them. And fortunately, there are a few people in the community who do have the time and are good enough to digest the information and put up a summary on the forum. So that's fantastic. But there are links to 1, 2, 3 live streams here in the newsletter. So have a look at those if you have the time and the availability, and you will learn a lot. Okay. The upcoming events calendar. Okay, we have all the new releases all the way out to September. In October, October 10 to 13, there is a SOTA International Convention. Well worth going to if you can. Yeah, I don't know that I'll be able to get there. It's a little bit far, but yeah, that'd be great to go and meet up with a lot of our fellow players. There are a lot of people in this community that I've gotten to know on a virtual basis, and I have to say this community is fantastic, and it would be so nice to meet all these people in person. I've met a few in person, and they're every bit as good as I thought they might have been, or better. So I'm sure that applies across the board. And it would just be lovely to meet all of these people, to meet the developers as well. So, if you get the chance, October 10 to 13 is the SOTA International Convention, and I'm sure you'll hear more about that as the time gets closer. And they have releases all the way out to December the 12th, which is release 73. Okay, next item is the merits item. We talk about this every week. Great idea, great invention. Download it, put it on your phone. All it does is count the number of steps you take as you're walking around every day, and you get points for free. Fantastic. You can spend these points on obsidian potions, which I do. They are great. 3,000 points for a potion. You can easily accumulate that just by walking around. And they run a sweepstakes, and it changes every month. Now, this month, they're running a sweepstakes It will cost you 2,500 points to enter. You can enter every day. So if you're really fanatical about it, you can have 30 entries by the end of the month. Gives you a good chance of walking away with a stone dragon statue. And that looks really impressive. It is a town-sized statue. You'll need a pretty big plot of land to put it on. I believe if you have a player-owned town, you can dedicate a section of land for the statue. If you're putting it on a lot, well, you're going to need a town-sized lot, and it'll take up the lot. So forget about the house. This is for the statue. But, if you own a player-owned town, or if you're on good terms with the governor, just say, I got a statue here. Can I park it on the side of the road there? Won't be much trouble. You don't have to feed it. It'll be fine. Looks real impressive. You'll say, oh, yeah, go for it. So, there we are. Enter every day, and you could be walking away with that at the end of the month. Now we are down to community events. There is the Release 66 dance party. Happens every month, every release, a dance party happens. Right, and this time, Avatars Radio and Elementum are saying, get your kicks on, Release 66. Wow. Lovely alliteration and lovely homage to Route 66. So get your kicks on Release 66. It is on June the 1st, 2019, from 3 to 5 p.m. New Britannian time. It's with DJ Amber Rain, and it's in the town of Elementum. Where is Elementum? It is in South Paladus. It is south of Virtus Pass and west of Jarnaford. Okay, so, oh yes, there it is. It's, a little red oval on the map there with an arrow pointing to it. You can't miss it. It's absolutely so easy to find. If you're passing through Jarnaford, you continue westward a bit, and sort of on the coast. So we get there if you are able to, if you have the time, and if you want to enjoy a great party. It's going to be awesome. The next community event is Midsummer Blot. This is a heavy role-playing event. We talked about this week, just to keep reminding people. And the message is that Jay Nord, the Gothi of Norstead, and Helvig Invild's daughter, Volva in Helboa, cordially invite you to their second annual Midsummer Blot. The Blot is a ritual where we celebrate the seasons, sacrifice to the gods of our original homeland, and experience community. This is a heavy role-playing event. Everyone is welcome as long as they're not disruptive to others' role-play. So if you're really into role-playing, if you really love this kind of activity, this is the thing for you. It is on Saturday, June the 29th at 4 p.m. New Britannian time. So a little bit of advance notice. It's coming up. It's not here for a few weeks yet, but put it in your diary. It should be really good. Now, the event locations are in Norstead, that's Hammerberg, and Helboa, otherwise known as Carley. Okay, we'll first do the more ritualised part of the celebration in Norstead. After blessing Norstead's homes and acres, we'll then move to Helboa for a feast, music, dance and games. Details are going to follow and questions are welcome. So, anybody who's interested in that, absolutely go for it. It's going to be great. Next community event is the Welcome Quest, Release 66. This is a forum post by Duke Gregor. And by appointment to His Majesty Lord British Welcome Quest Makers, you're invited to join the Welcome Quest in Release 66. It's a player-run event. Port Alerium is not represented. It's not a PvP event, so don't plan to PvP during the event, please. It'll be held on Saturday, June the 15th. So again, a little bit of advance heads-up notice. Great, put it in your diaries. It starts at 12 noon Central time or New Britannian time. It lasts for an hour. It will be in your in-game events book. Now Gregor Pendragon will be active 30 minutes before the event and Deering, so you can teleport to him if you want to. They will be travelling to the town of Fallen Green. How do you get there, you ask? Well, the answer is you travel to Ardaris and take the wagon inside the entrance. So it's a nested town. It's nested inside Ardaris. You will need to go by wagon. And you can search for it on the map website. Right. Now, the purpose of it is, as we know, it's a quest for all people to see many towns and establishments. It's created as a way for people to visit many player-run locations. Get out, meet the community, meet people, find out about people, make friendships. This is the whole purpose of it, and it's been running, wow, for a long, long time. Each town and establishment gets the chance to give some information and then instruction to go to the next place and so on. It could be sequential or it could be in parallel to multiple places. And they say they are proud to be the first player-run quest in SOTA. We do it for all of you. So thoroughly recommend that. Join in if you can. The next community event, well, they're still giving us free advertising, which is wonderful. New Britannia Theatre Troupe presents Daggers in the Dark, the video. We did put on a live in-game play performance some time ago now. A skillfully written play with a wonderful twist at the end entitled Daggers in the Dark. Well acted by a dedicated team, and fortunately there was a video taken. That video is still available on YouTube. It's actually getting some traffic, which is, hey, it's nice. So thanks to everybody who's watched it. I hope you enjoyed it. There's a link there in the newsletter if you'd like to catch up with it. And just a little bit of extra information. The theatre troupe is in the process of processing, devising, constructing another piece of entertainment for your enjoyment. It's going to be a while coming. It's at the stage of the script is finally written. The script writer, Gabriel Nightshadow, has promised us not to do any more alterations, additions, subtractions, or variations. So it's gone out to all the actors, and now I am breathlessly waiting for all the lines to come back. And once they come back, then I sit down and put them all together. We have an audio track. We will have music, we'll have sound effects. This represents the most ambitious project that the theatre troupe has undertaken, both in size and complexity. So I hope everybody enjoys it. Don't look for it to happen anytime soon. These things do take time to develop. Any quality product takes time to develop, that's my excuse. But we'll let you know more as it gets closer. It is not a live play. There are some things in the play that we just can't do live. So it's a radio play, and I'm sure we'll have a listening party and just invite people to get together and fellowship and assemble and have a bit of a party, have a few in-game drinks while we're listening to it happening on Avatars Radio. Or you could just be home and listen to Avatars Radio if you want. But that's what's going to happen at some stage in the future. I don't know when, but it will happen. Okay. Finally, project to support is Avatars Radio. We mention this every week. Well worth supporting. It is the original radio station of Shroud of the Avatar. It was founded by Amber Rain, who thought this would be a good idea. The devs came on board with it and said, yeah, why not? That's great. Another community member or two came up with the tech for a radio to listen in-game. So now we have the Ether Vibration Amplifier. There are many ways you can listen to it. It is for the community. By preference, they run a lot of community music stories, plays, podcasts, and anything originating from the community. That is their primary goal, to support the community. As well, they have conventional, or you would call it otherworldly, music from the other side of the rift, and they have DJs who give of their time freely to run the station and help entertain the community. So if you're able to support them in any way, if you are talented, if you have any talents, musical, voice, whatever, if you have aspirations of being a DJ, they'd love to hear from you. It is well worth supporting. And finally, resources, players helping players. We have the new player welcome forum and the player created resources forum. It is nice to see there's been a regular spattering of entries in the welcome forum. Players posting, hey, I'm new here, just like to say hello, that sort of thing. And they might have questions. That's great. There are new people coming all the time. That's the place to post, and that's where you'll find answers to your questions. There's a written guide, there's a video walkthrough, there's a wiki website. Any question you have, it can be a confusing game to start with. It's a bit of a steep learning curve, but very well worth it once you get into it. Also, there's a community resources page for everything that is done, originated from, or made by the community. Okay, well, I think that's about the news for the week. I think I've rambled on for long enough. So it's time to call a halt. The wonderful background music for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Tekel for the technical work on the newscast. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting this newscast on Avatars Radio. Don't forget, Avatars Radio needs your support to keep the magic of this podcast, events, and music going. Visit their page at avatarsradio.info and click on the Patreon link. This is Asclepius signing off until next week with Echoes from the Caverns.